name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Today in the Gospel of today is from St. Luke, chapter 14. And the Lord, the passage begins by the Lord being followed by a large crowd. And rather than softening his message when he sees the large crowd, he actually ups the ante and he asks and raises the cost for them in following him. Maybe they thought it was just easy to follow him because they just follow him around wherever he preached. But he turned to them and he gave them some commandments that seemed to be a bit difficult and to challenge their loyalty. Because he wasn't looking for people simply just to follow him and to be a crowd, but he was looking to make disciples so that they can go also to the rest of the world and to share the good news. These days, I believe that loyalty is something that is very fragile. Whether it's loyalty to the church, loyalty to our family, loyalty to work, loyalty to our friends, it seems to be very fragile. And maybe we're okay being loyal to one another and to maybe our work and whatever it is, if everything is going well. But when something goes wrong, I tend to disassociate myself and it challenges my loyalty. I can be loyal to friends until they offend me. I can be loyal in a job until it's an inconvenience. I can be loyal as long as it doesn't make me tired. The Lord Jesus today revealed to us the necessity of being loyal to him. And he put before them some challenges that will test their loyalty. So this morning I'd like to speak a little bit about being a loyal disciple to the Lord. And if you remember, the theme of this month is about the Word of God, right? Again, in preparation for the coming, the incarnation of the Word next month when we celebrate the Nativity. The first two Sundays of this month spoke about the sower, right? Where the key message here is what? The seeds are the Word of God, and we need to prepare our heart to be like the good ground to receive that Word. Then what's after? Once we receive this Word, what do we do with it, right? Are we going to be loyal to it or are we not? That's why this week we'll hear about what it takes to be a loyal disciple. And then next week we'll hear about what happens when loyalty is divided, right? Can there be a divided loyalty? So what is it that tests our loyalty to God? Number one, the relationships can pull us away. The relationships that pull us away from him. That's why I began and he says, "What if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, also he cannot be my disciple." So what is he saying here? Not that we hate them in a way where maybe we're accustomed to, we think about hating now, but hating them in comparison to him. Meaning what? Our love for him is up here and everybody else is down here, so it seems to be as hatred in comparison to our love for God. And we see this again in the life of the martyrs. When they offer them, and that's why he says here what, and his own life also. So when you see some of the martyrs who are martyred, like the 21 of recent times, they loved him so much that everything else seemed to be like hatred, even their own life also. There's a beautiful story about Ruth in the Old Testament. And she was from Moab, and she married one of Naomi's sons. And Naomi was from Judah, or from Israel. And they came down to Moab because there was a famine. And she had two sons, and they both married Moabite women, and Ruth was one of them. It happened that when Ruth was in, when Naomi was in Moab, that both of her sons died after they had gotten married for about 10 years. So she was just left there, survived by just her two daughters-in-law. The famine was over, and she was going to go back to Israel. And Naomi told the two daughters-in-law, just go ahead and stay here, and I'm going to go back to my people. But Ruth insisted to cling to Naomi. And if you think about the relationships that this would cost her to go back with her mother-in-law, she would leave her parents, she would leave her friends, she would leave her familiar, you know, community. She will leave even her faith, her God, right, that she worshiped there in Moab. all things that made her feel secure, she would leave, just to go back and be with Naomi in Israel. Why, we might ask, would somebody ever do this? Listen to what she says. After Naomi tried to convince her, Ruth responded and said, what? Entreat me not to leave you, she's speaking to her mother-in-law, nor to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. And your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Greatest expression of loyalty in terms of her relationships, right? She left her family and everything and was loyal to Naomi. And it wasn't because Naomi was a nice person. She was a nice person. But what would make somebody leave everything was that she was attaching, clinging herself to the God of Naomi. That's why she left everything. She remained loyal. Loyalty is tested by sometimes those who are closest to us. Sometimes maybe I have in my family, there can be expectations that my family has of me that aren't right, that are sinful. They want me to lie or cheat or steal for whatever reason, right? Again, sometimes our loyalty to God can be tested by our family. It can be tested by our peers when they pressure me to do things again that aren't right. Our loyalty can be tested in our friend groups, right? When you have these friend groups and they say, okay, we'll be friends with you, but you have to hate so-and-so, or you can't hang out with so-and-so. Again, our loyalty to God is being tested when we allow people to put in the seeds in us hatred of somebody else simply to be friends with another person. Maybe our friends group, they push us to make fun of another person. Again, this is testing our loyalty to God. Or maybe exclude them in whatever it is that we are doing. A loyal disciple chooses Christ even when other relationships seem to pull him in the other direction. Also, trials and hardships test our loyalty to God. That's why he says here, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Bearing the cross is obeying when it hurts. Obeying when it hurts, right? This is the painful obedience. It's very costly. Remember the story of Job? Job lost everything he had in one day. In one day. He lost his livestock. He lost his land, the crop. He lost his 10 children. In one time, the building collapsed on them and all of his children died. Everything happened in one day, one after the other, one after the other. What was Job's response when he experienced all of this? This would make anybody, you know, if they don't die from a heart attack from this, you know, God bless them, right? This would make anybody die immediately. But he said what? He said, naked I came into the world, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This is what Job's response was. And then scripture adds and tells us what? In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. So he looked and he said, God, the Lord has given blessing, the Lord has taken. Everything is his. He remained faithful, even during this challenging time. His wife, on the other hand, when he lost his health, turned and said to him, what? Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die. Just curse him and die. He's the cause of all of this. She didn't remain loyal. When the test came and it became maybe a lot for her, a heavy burden, she said, curse God and die. She didn't remain loyal. My beloved, trials and hardships will test our loyalty. We have to keep in mind that, you know, this world is not the end of the road, right? The end of the road is in heaven. This life that we have here is just a journey. The bridge from here, from our birthplace, to our ultimate dwelling place. So loyalty will be tested by the hardships that we face. Also, loyalty is tested by competing attachments and possessions. Look what the Lord says. He says, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. So they're going to be competing things that try to attach you to them and to make you disloyal to God. He wants us to forsake all. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, right? He desired to see the Lord, and he was very wealthy, right? He was a chief tax collector. And he wanted to see him, and when he finally met him and he came into his house, these possessions seemed to be as rubbish in his eyes. And he voluntarily said what? I'm going to give half my money to the poor, and the other half I'm going to return to those whom I have cheated. So he gave up everything. He gave up everything. And this showed his loyalty. His loyalty now was to God, to Christ, not to his possessions. And he was worthy to hear the words of the Lord saying what? Salvation has come to this household, right? Because he was able to detach. The woman who gave, who was praised by the Lord Jesus by giving the two mites, right? Again, no one would blame her if she kept these two mites because she needed to eat, right? And actually, if she gave them to the church and she needed something to eat, the church would give her this and more in return so she can eat, right? But she gave them because she felt obliged. This is my duty to do, is give these two mites. And she did this. How? What made her to be praised was because it hurt. She gave out of her necessity, out of her need, not out of her abundance. Loyalty is tested by the things that compete for our attention and for our possessions and attachments. These attachments are kind of like tentacles. They go out from us and they grab certain things. This could be my social media like presence. This could be my approval from my friends. This could be my esteem in my career. This could be my reputation in the church. This could be many different tentacles that go out, right? But these attachments, are they going to keep me from following him? Is my goal to keep these attachments healthy? But what if following Christ means I have to cut these attachments? Which will I choose? Again, the loyal disciple will cut the attachments when needed. So our attachments will test our loyalty. Also, the idea of enduring unto the end will test our loyalty. The grind, you know, the everyday grind of being a Christian, whether it's fasting or praying or struggling and reading the scripture and understanding, attending the services from the beginning, and so on, right? All of these things, the grind of every Christian life, will test our loyalty. The Lord said what? He who endures to the end shall what? Shall be saved. He who endures to the end shall be saved, right? He doesn't say he who starts well will be saved, but he who endures unto the end will be saved. Today in the gospel, he ends and he says what? He says, after he said, whoever, you know, you have to forsake all, cannot be my disciple. And then he says, salt is good, but if the salt loses favor, how shall it be seasoned? Similarly, in Matthew, he says the same thing. He says, salt is good, but if the salt loses favor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Why does the Lord use the analogy of salt here? If we return to the Old Testament, we find out why he uses the analogy of salt. Salt was one of the ingredients in the grain offering, and it was necessary. There are two ways to offer the grain offering, and in both of them, salt was a necessary component. Why? It's because salt is a preservative, right? So it's a sign of loyalty. When you put salt, it preserves it. So again, salt was known as a sign of loyalty. So when he says here that salt has lost its flavor or lost its ability to preserve, he's saying what? So when salt has lost its loyalty. So what's the result when we lose our loyalty to God? He says, it is good for nothing than to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. We lose the seasoning when we become disloyal to him. Again, it's not about how we begin, it's about how we end. It's the grind of everyday Christian life. Loyalty is tested by anything or anyone who tempts us or encourages us to quit along the way. The voice that tells you, just quit, you've been doing this for a long time, just stop. These voices or these people or these things, these are all the voices of the enemy. If you know, this is a beautiful story here of Saint Rebecca. Saint Rebecca had 5 children, right? And it came for them to witness to Christ or else die. And part of her torture, instead of killing her, the ruler at the time said, no, I'm going to martyr her children in front of her one by one. And the story tells us that as they're, you know, persecuting her children. She's encouraging them to be faithful until the end. What power is that? This is like unheard of, right? This is not a human power, be able to do this, right? Again, she was extremely loyal to the point where she's encouraging her children to finish until the end. What do we do sometimes when our children say, I can't fast because my stomach hurts, or I can't do this with them? Ma'alish ya habibi, it's okay. And don't worry about it. Don't trouble yourself. But she's encouraging them to face martyrdom until the end. Endure until the end. Salt loses its flavor or its loyalty through neglect. The Lord responded, it is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Also, loyalty is tested by turning to the right or to the left. The distractions. What will keep us, will distract us from being loyal to God is the things that turn us to the left or to the right. The distractions are the busyness. The Lord, when he spoke to Joshua, after he took, you know, over as the leader of Israel, after Moses passed, God was encouraging Joshua, and he told him what? Only be strong and be courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Don't turn to the left or to the right. Why? So you may prosper wherever you go. So he warns him of the distraction. And oftentimes the enemy, he doesn't capture us and deceive us by destruction more so than distraction. It's easier for him to distract us than for him to destroy our faith. It's very easy, right? Maybe we find the outside, it's the destruction. But of the children of God, it's the distraction. To keep us so busy that we disregard, or we don't have time, or we think we don't have time to do anything related to God. And then our conscience is okay, because we say Our Father in the morning, we say Our Father before we sleep, we attend 30 minutes or an hour of the liturgy every week, and we think everything is good, right? But the rest of the time, we're distracted. Sometimes this loyalty can be tested by overcommitment. We overcommit ourselves, so we make ourselves extremely busy. Of course, I don't want to mention the digital distractions. I say this all the time. This, again, is turning to the right and to the left if we allow it to. Our loyalty is tested by the distractions that delay or stall us from our path that leads us to our ultimate destination. It's kind of like street signs. Maybe not so much now, but because there's a lot of ways of advertising. But I remember growing up, when we would drive from Florida all the way up to New Jersey, and sometimes we were looking for the street signs because there was nothing but just road and trees. So we'd look for the street signs. But when you got to populated areas and there were a bunch of street signs, I'm sure we drove our parents crazy. Can we stop here and get this? Can we stop here and get that? Because the signs are up here. Now it's a different form. It's like the clickbait, right? You're watching something online and there's an advertisement here and you click here and you find yourself going all over the place, you know, clicking from one thing to another. So it's just a different idea, but the same principle. Or it's like the candy and the checkout line. You know, for parents who go through the checkout line, you know what I'm talking about. You're wanting to get out of the store as fast as you can, and they put the candy there at the children's level. It's not higher. It's at the children's level. So as you're going, they're asking for every little thing that you're passing by. And you want to get out of there, but this is just, again, it's turning to the left and to the right, right? I wish there was a way we can just put, like, these, you know, these blind spots on our children's eyes when we go through the grocery store or whatever store. But they do that on purpose, to get us to turn from the right and to the left. So, again, these distractions can break our loyalty to God. Also, lastly, is doubting his loyalty to us in times maybe when we feel undeserving of his love, or when we feel abandoned by him, can also sometimes challenge our loyalty when we feel abandoned. If you look in the life of St. Peter, when he denied Christ three times, right? The Bible tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. And at this moment, when he went out and wept bitterly, the enemy came to him and wanted to convince him that Christ would not accept him back again and to go and leave. How do we know this happened to St. Peter after he fell? Because it's not written explicitly in the Bible, but it's implicit. Look what the Lord said to Simon before he committed this. He said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. When will he ask for you? When you deny him, right? Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. So Christ prayed for him that his faith would be loyal after his fall. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. You know, a big part of our relationship with God is the experiences we have in our life. And sometimes, you know, when the experiences are good, our faith is strengthened. But then on the flip side, when our experiences are bad or challenging in our life, it challenges our loyalty. We have to understand, though, that our experiences should not be what determines our faith. Because we can have good experiences and bad experiences. But what should be the foundation of our faith are His promises and His ability to fulfill those promises, or His faithfulness in His promises. Again, His promise to us, what? If we abide by Him and remain faithful to Him, then He gives us His kingdom. The challenges that happen in this life, are the road to get there. Because we have challenges in our life, does it mean He doesn't love us? No. It means that He sees these challenges as a means for our salvation. But sometimes when we go through them, again, it challenges our loyalty to Him. How could a loving God allow me to go through X, Y, and Z? Again, we look at it from an earthly perspective. We look at it from the now perspective, but we don't see it from His perspective sometimes. So sometimes these things, when we feel abandoned by Him, this challenges our loyalty. And also when we feel undeserving, when we feel, okay, that we are so sinful, that how could God accept us back? Again, it challenges our loyalty. We say, okay, if this was me, if somebody did what I did to me, I wouldn't love them. I wouldn't love them. But thank God, God is not like us. And He can love in any condition and for any condition as long as we return to Him. There's no one who came to Christ who was turned away, who came to Him in humility and who was turned away. Our loyalty is rooted in God's faithfulness, not in the challenges that we experience in life. Lastly, really quick, the requirements that Christ told us that He wants in a loyal disciple. The first, He wants the decisive choice. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, he can't be my disciple. This is a choice. It's not something we will feel, but it's a choice that we make, that we must be loyal to Him over all things. The second is, the loyal disciple must be able to sacrifice, and sacrifice daily. He says, anyone who does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And again, bearing this cross is obeying when it hurts, right? And this happens every day. Also, the loyal disciple must be an intentional commitment, right? And he gives the example of the person who goes, the king who goes to war without calculating the cost, or the one who builds a tower without checking his funds beforehand. It must be something that's calculated, must be intentional. I don't just start something and then find out, I can't do it, or it's got to be intentional, right? I intend to do this, and I know the sacrifice that will come after this, and I'm willing to take it. And lastly, the loyal disciple must surrender. Whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Meaning there's nothing in my life that will compete for the authority of Christ. Nothing will compete by His authority. Meaning when I read Scripture, I don't read it to my liking. I read it with the impression of, okay, this is the divine command, and I must subject myself to it and struggle to obey it. It's not like a buffet where I go and I pick and choose what it is that I like and what I don't like, and I leave what I don't like. It's an all or none package. It's an all or none package. So loyalty cannot be partial, and it can't be divided, and it can't be conditional. We'll see next week what happens when loyalty is challenged and is divided. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.